Riley, Judge Kalatowski, the Honorable Francis J. Connolly presiding.
Thank you. Our last case this morning is in the matter of the welfare of the children of J.S. It's my understanding the respondent is not appearing, so counsel for the appellant, you'll have 15 minutes in total for your argument. So whenever you're ready, just tell us who you are, and you may begin, please.
Solely based on the ground for termination. That is, there is an independent finding that must be made by the court with regard to the best interests of the child. Minnesota Rule of Juvenile Protection 39.04 requires that the district court make specific findings that termination is in the best interests of the child and directs us to look at three things. One, the child's interest in preserving the relationship. Two, the parent's interest in preserving the relationship, and three, any competing interests of the child. It's not altogether clear that the district court was even aware of 3904 and certainly didn't make specific findings. A best interests analysis becomes especially important in a presumption case like this because there's unlikely to be an awful lot of independent evidence developed during the time that the mother is vulnerable for termination. In this case, the child was taken from the mother one day after birth, and the trial took place approximately 90 days thereafter. Therefore, there is not likely to be much current information on the mother, and certainly it wasn't introduced. For example, in this case, we never saw the mother with the child. We had limited home visits indicating that the home, which no longer applied because she was no longer in Minneapolis, was filled with people who were using meth. That's about it. Virtually everything else is about the presumption.
Well, counsel, you never saw the mother with the child, but as the district court noted, it's because the mother chose not to take advantage of the opportunities to have time with the child.
I think more important than that, the issue is, should you lose your child simply because you missed one or two visits? I think the answer to that is no. But the one of the things that I found very interesting, and I'm going to quote from page 2 of the respondent's brief. The respondent says, quote, while the district court's findings are admittedly very limited, the district court did reference several conclusions that directly relate to the best interest factors. First and foremost, the district court did find that it was in the best interest of EQ that the parental rights of the mother be terminated. Now, a conclusion is not a finding. 3904 indicates that there must be specific findings, not just a conclusory conclusion. And I submit that that's precisely what we have here. One of the principles that I cited in my briefs is that appellate courts should not make findings for the district court with regard to best interests. This is a little bit different from the more typical case of a court trial, where the court will search the record to see whether or not there is enough evidence to support a finding. Here, the district court has to specifically make the finding, and I'm sure the reason that the Rules Committee put in the words specific is to prevent the kind of thing that is much more common in ordinary civil litigation. I'd like to move to the second point, and that, of course, is the RDL factor. Very recently, the Supreme Court indicated that the presumption of unfitness survives constitutional muster because it should be easily the mother should have an easy time presenting evidence overcoming the presumption. Whereas here, the mother had 90 days to do something, it would have been almost impossible for her to easily overcome the presumption. And if that's true, then the statute itself, or at least as it applies in this particular case, is of dubious constitutionality. If the presumption is not easily rebuttable. It's almost impossible to see how she could have done better. The child being taken away and the trial held within 90 days indicates that Family Services provided almost no investigation to see whether or not she had improved or whether or not she had done anything to indicate that she is a better mother. She did present some evidence. Admittedly, it's thin, but my point is that thin though the evidence is, that's about the best person could be expected to do within 90 days. We'll note that in this particular case, there were no psychological tests given her, no parental capacities tests, no testing of any kind, and she had improved her situation somewhat. She had employment, she had therapy, she had a regimen of medication, she was undergoing counseling, and importantly enough, you know, she obviously had a commitment to parenting because she carried her child to term. Then, yes, but at least it should have been enough to reverse the presumption in this case. I submit that if the court looks at all the facts here, that this case should be reversed and remanded. And I wanted to speak just briefly to what should happen on remand. We should not simply send the case back to the district court saying, look over the records and see if you can meet the requirements of 39.04. And the reason is the year has elapsed. The situation is likely to be much different now than it was 90 days after the birth of the child. And the best interests of the child really demand that we find out what the situation is with the mother and child now, not what it was a year ago. So if this court remands, and I suggest that 39.04 gives a powerful reason for doing it, it should do so with instructions to retry the case on present facts. I'll take questions.
I don't think we have any, Mr. Mack. Thank you.
Thank you.
That being our last matter of the day, we are adjourned.